Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us this evening. We'll pray. Lord, we thank you this evening for your precious word. Pray that you'll bless it to our hearts, that we may know that we are overcomers, that we are conquerors, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. May we live this victorious life in Jesus Christ. For Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it is not the place of the Christian, of the believer, to be in defeat. By nature, we are conquerors. You can't be a conqueror and be in defeat. I suppose if William hadn't conquered, he wouldn't have been called William the Conqueror. If he'd lost at Hastings, or wherever the battle was fought, he would have been William the Defeated. You can't be both a conqueror and defeated. Now, Christians are conquerors. The Bible says so. Therefore, it's wrong for Christians to be in defeat. It's wrong to confess defeat, because we are not defeated. There was a hymn that we used to sing, "Thou shalt never know defeat." I can't remember how it goes on after that, but that's how it started. "Thou shalt never know defeat." All right? You should never know defeat. That's true, isn't it? In the Lord. God has made us overcomers, conquerors, in Christ. It's his work. But we must overcome in the response of faith. In all these things, in our salvation, it's his work, but there's the response of faith. In being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's his work, but there's the response of faith. In the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, it's his work. It's God that works all in all, but it's according to the response of faith. And two, with overcoming, with living the life of victory, conquering, overcoming is his work, but there must be the response of faith. We must enter into this in faith. We must realise that we are overcomers. That is the nature that we have in him. It's his nature. He is an overcomer. Therefore, we are overcomers. And there is nothing. Let us get the scripture into our hearts. There is nothing that can defeat us. Now, Romans 8, of course, at the end of Romans 8, speaks about nothing being able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. We are in a position of being conquerors. And in every situation in life, we must see this. In all that we're called to go through, we are conquerors. There is nothing that can defeat us. That's good to know. We've got to see it by faith and move in it by faith and rejoice in it by faith. Now, we read tonight about the wrestling that we're involved in, not flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual warfare. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. There is the exhortation to take the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Unbeatable, insuperable, unconquerable, because we're in Christ Jesus, to stand. And the enemy may throw everything at us, but we stand clothed in that wonderful armour. And of course he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There is the word of God there. There is the Spirit of God there. There is the shield of faith there. And praying always, with all prayer and supplication You can see what we're involved in this life of victory. You see, it's a life of faith. It's, of course, salvation. It's all those other things that we've got there, truth and righteousness and so on. The gospel of peace. But it's a life of faith. It's a life steeped in the Word of God. It's a life lived in the Spirit. It's a life lived in prayer. It's a life of victory. Stand, having done all. Stand. Not yielding one inch in victory. Praise the Lord. Now the life of faith, because we can say that we are conquerors, that it is the nature of Christians to be conquerors, we must realise that it doesn't just happen automatically. No more than salvation happens automatically. Salvation is for the whole world, but it doesn't happen automatically. There has to be the response of faith. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for every believer, but it doesn't happen automatically. There has to be the response of faith. And the life of victory, the life of being a conqueror, an overcomer, there has to be the response of faith. So the Word of God exhorts us to be overcomers. And we can be overcomers when we realise that we are overcomers in Him. And we respond accordingly in faith. Now, there are promises to overcomers, to conquerors. And in the book of Revelation, in those letters to the seven churches, there are seven promises to overcomers. And there is a progression. Now we want to see ourselves as being in the line of those promises because we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. How do we know that we are overcomers? Well, you see, the first epistle of John chapter 5 says this, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now we're the overcomers. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God with our hearts. We're born again of God. We're overcomers. We're sharers in the victory. Now let's look at the promises. There are seven promises. Now seven, as you know, is that perfect number, the number of perfection, completion and completeness in him. In Revelation 2 and verse 7, to the church at Ephesus, here is the promise. "To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That from which man was barred because of sin is now available to us because of what Jesus has done. He has paid the penalty for sin. And therefore we may now eat of him who is the tree of life, who is in the midst of the paradise of God. And we may know life eternal, the tree of life." This is a starting point, isn't it? Overcoming is being in Christ Jesus. He being in us. We feeding upon him day by day and moment by moment. Feeding on life eternal. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Life eternal through him. We're overcomers. And we've got life that is eternal. Nothing can take it from us. Praise the Lord. And we're feeding on him. We're feeding on the tree of life. Praise the Lord. We've not lost what God intended for us. It was there in the Garden of Eden at the beginning. A man failed to eat of that tree. But it's there now. It's available now as we may approach it. The second one is in chapter 2 and verse 11. "He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death." Not only are we possessors of eternal life, but because of that, we have the assurance that we shall never suffer the consequences of our sin. Somebody else has borne those consequences. And therefore, the promise of the overcomers is that they have an assurance that they will not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? Being cast into the lake of fire. Those whose names are not written in the book, who are judged according to their works, and whose names are not written in the book of life, will have their part in that lake of fire in the second death. But the overcomer will not be hurt of the second death. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. No fear. No fear of hell. Because we're saved. We're delivered. We're set free. Praise the Lord. We're moving on in chapter 2 and verse 17. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written which no man knows save he that receives it. We have something here which is food and nourishment to us. The hidden manna, a hidden source of strength, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world doesn't see it, but we are living on it. We are feeding on the living bread. Not the manna that came down in the wilderness, of which they ate and they died, but Jesus said in John's Gospel, I am the bread that comes down, that you shall eat of and you shall live. We're feeding on that, a hidden manna, hidden from the world. At the well in Samaria, Jesus said to his disciples, I've got meat that you know not of. He'd been doing the will of the Father. He'd been feeding spiritually. And he was able to speak of a meat that was hidden from them, even them at that time. They didn't know about a food, a nourishment. We're overcomers. We've got that strength. And we've got a name written in a white stone, which nobody else knows. This white stone is a white stone of acquittal. That's one idea behind it. If we go back to the Revelation text, you can find all the ideas behind it. It's a white stone of victory. It's a white stone of acquittal. Your name is on it. Acquitted. Set free. It's not the black stone of condemnation. It's the white stone of acquittal. We've got that thought in these first three, haven't we? We're overcomers. We've got life, eternal life. That which Adam lost. We've got it. Because Jesus obtained it for us. We've got no fear of hell, of the second death, because Jesus has delivered us and set us free. We're acquitted. We've got the assurance, something which we can't lose. We've got it. Our name is written on that white stone, as it were. You're free. This is yours. You keep it. Bless the Lord. You see, with these assurances, we can certainly be overcomers. We can certainly be strong in faith. We can certainly not be deceived by the enemy. We cannot be cowed by him into thinking, oh, we've lost it, we've made a mess of it, we've muffed it, we've blown it, because we've fed on the tree of life. Now, you see, God said at the beginning, I'm going to bar the way to that tree of life. They must not eat of that tree of life, otherwise they would live forever in their sin. Once you eat of that tree of life, you've got life eternal. And being cleansed from sin, we are eating of that tree of life. And nothing can take away that life. We have. We sang it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, has everlasting life. We're freed from that second death. We are acquitted. What strength that is to our souls. Let's move on quickly to number 4, which comes in chapter 2 and verse 26. He that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and I will give him the morning star. Authority. Power in the sense of authority over the nations. And deliverance from what is coming upon the nations. For the morning star speaks about the special appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ before he comes as the Son of Righteousness. The morning star signals the coming of the rising sun. And to Israel he will come as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. But to the church he will be the bright and morning star before the dawning of that day to take us to himself. And we'll be delivered from this present evil world as we are now. But we shall be taken out to be with him. And we shall rule with him. We shall have authority over the nations. And what is happening to the nations is something which we need not fear. Isn't it exciting to see what's happening in the news? You see? There are little groups of people there determined to build something on that Temple Mount. And there are other little groups of people that are determined that nothing should be built there. It's interesting to see things developing very quickly in the days in which we live. The morning star is coming. Jesus is coming for his church, and we're going to be caught up to be with him. Praise the name of the Lord. And although the nations, the heathen may rage, and the nations may be gathered together against the Lord and against his people, we shouldn't be cowed into defeat when we see the power of the nations, the power of the mighty superpowers, and we see all the turmoil going on in the Middle East. Don't be frightened by all that's going on, for you will have authority over the nations. You're a conqueror. You're an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Things are moving to a conclusion. And then number 5, in chapter 3, and verses 5 and 6. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Overcomers, clothed in white raiment. The white linen in Revelation 19 is the righteousness of saints, which is not their righteousness, but his righteousness. We've got a righteousness here, which we can walk in. We're overcomers. Not tainted garments. Not having to say, oh, sorry about this stain. You know, I slipped up yesterday, and oh, sorry about this. And tatty garments. He's taken away the old tattered garment and clothed me in a robe of pure delight. How does the chorus go? I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. That's what he's done. And he keeps us clothed in that white raiment. It's a wonderful garment of righteousness that we are clothed in. Praise the Lord. It's a self-cleaning one. And as we go on in him, what does it say? As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Cleanses us from all sin. We have a continual cleansing, and we're walking in righteousness. What's the point of that, you say? It makes us conquerors. It gives us an assurance. We don't have to keep looking down saying, oh, grief, I've got a stain down here. Oh, I've done it again. We're conquerors in him. We've got an advocate with the Father. Praise the name of the Lord, you see. We're conquerors. And we've got the promise, therefore, you see, that goes with that white raiment, that he will not blot the name of the conqueror out of the book of life. He will not blot your name out of the book of life. In other words, here is yet another verse in the scripture to show to us that we have eternal security. Our salvation is secure. He has promised to the conqueror, and we are conquerors. He will not blot your name out of the book of life. And he will confess your name before the Father and before the angels. You are accepted in the Beloved. They're mine, says the Lord. When he cometh to make up his jewels. Know that scripture? It's in Malachi, isn't it? They shall be mine, says the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. And so we are his, you see. And he will confess us, as he does confess us, before the Father and before the angels. They're mine. Blood-bought. Righteous. Saints of God, conquerors and overcomers, now are we. Then the sixth one, chapter 3 and verse 12. He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Overcomers are established and strong and secure and stable. Immovable, steadfast, cannot be moved, will not go out anymore. Wonderful, isn't it? A pillar in the temple of God, there, permanently, in the place where God dwells, established. Not only that, bearing the name of God and the city of my God and my new name, fully manifesting the character of God. You are partakers of the divine nature. Revealed in the name of God, the name of the city of my God, the name which is my new name, says the Lord. Partakers of the divine nature. You see, overcomers are such that they cannot be defeated. They wouldn't be overcomers if they were defeated. They cannot be defeated. Get it into your heart. Tell your heart to send messages to your mind. You're an overcomer. You can't be defeated. Anything that suggests you can be defeated is a lie from the enemy. You're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. So if you start getting thoughts about, oh, I've lost my salvation, reject it as a lie. You can't lose it. You're an overcomer. The word says so. If you feel like giving up and throwing it all in, it's a lie. You're a pillar in the temple of God. You won't go out anymore. You're his. It's a lie. Devil wants to deceive you. Chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Reigning with Christ. Reigning with Christ. In him. In the Father. In the place of total security. Reigning with him. reigning in him. Seven wonderful promises to the overcomer. Seven promises. Him that overcomes. It doesn't say if you Christians overcome. It speaks about to him that overcomes. And those that overcome are the Lord's. They all overcome who are the Lord's. Anybody that doesn't get any of these promises here, anyone who doesn't get any of these promises is not a Christian. He's not born again. Every Christian, everyone that's born again, born of God, as we read in John, is an overcomer. These are our promises. But there's an eighth promise too. Now, eight is the number of resurrection, but particularly of eternity. Eight is the number of eternity's day. You know, 7 days, and then the eighth day is eternity's day. And you find the eighth promise in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7. And this is the promise to you and to me. Revelation 21, verse 7. Did I say 27? Verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Bless the Lord, that's a lot, isn't it? In terms of eternity, to inherit all things. And all things are Christ's. And that's yours. What an inheritance. What overcomers. So what are we overcoming? What are we conquering? It's important that we should know that we're not brought into defeat by any of them. That we're not brought into defeat even by our own bodily appetites and desires. Paul said, I'm not going to be brought under by any of them. Of course, there's sin. Jesus dealt with our sin. He bore it all on Calvary. It's cleansed, washed away. We're forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But you see, Paul speaks in Romans chapter 7 about this conflict that he has. Or he had, rather, in the past tense. When in chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he's got a real problem there. It's a problem that many Christians experience. A problem with sin. Even though we are cleansed and forgiven, there seems to be a continual problem with this body of flesh. There seems to be a continual problem with the body of this death, with the law of sin working in my members, as Paul said. A battle with sin for believers who are overcomers. And the way Paul is talking here, he's always losing. He's never winning. But we're overcomers. And he cries out, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. With the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And then we move into Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's another way. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we find that by walking in the Spirit, we have a glorious victory. Saved, but operating in the level of the human mind, the human will, the human intention, we can find the will to be good, but not the power to be good. We have to open our hearts and lives as a response of faith to the Spirit of God, that we might walk in the Spirit. And there we find God's power to enable us to live the life that he wants us to live. We cannot do it ourselves. We must know that filling of the Holy Spirit, that walking in the Spirit day by day. It tells us in Galatians, doesn't it? We'll come to this verse again later on. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is a glorious victory over sin for every believer, for every blood-bought child of God. There is a victory over sin We are more than conquerors. We had this verse on Sunday in Romans chapter 6 where Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you. It will not rule over you. You're free from its yoke. You are now a slave to righteousness. We're conquerors. There is no excuse for sin. When you were not saved, you could make excuses and say, well, I can't help it. I was born in sin. I'm under the power of sin. I'm enslaved by sin. I can't help sinning. But you've no excuse now as a believer. You're cleansed. You're set free from sin. Walk in the Spirit. We are conquerors. Conquerors. You see, if the enemy deceives you and you slip into a life where you excuse sin and say, oh, well, I couldn't help doing it. Lord knows. He understands. But the Lord does know. But he doesn't excuse it. You see, he says, these things I write unto you that you sin not. There's a power and a victory over sin. And we must respond in faith to be victorious over sin. Because when the enemy deceives us and entices us into sin, and we get weak, and maybe we get bound by habits and all sorts of things like that that bring us into sin, and we live carelessly, he weakens us. The enemy weakens us. He weakens our testimony. How can we have a strong testimony if we're living lives of sin? He makes us useless for the Lord. The Lord doesn't want that. Shall I continue in sin, said Paul, that grace may abound? Definitely not, he says. Definitely not. It says God forbid in the Authorized Version, but it means definitely not. Definitely not. Certainly not. No, there is no excuse for sin. We're victors. We're conquerors. Let's respond to that in faith. And if you've got into the easy mode of thinking, oh, well, we can't help sinning, can we? That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. You can help sinning. I'm not saying it's impossible to sin, but you can help sinning when you sin, if you sin. You can help it. There is always a route of victory in Christ Jesus. And as we move in the Spirit, we can move along that route of victory. If we do sin, don't get cast down in condemnation, because the Bible says we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But let's take the better route, the route of victory. We've got a victory over death. Bless the Lord for that too. It's 1 Corinthians 15, a glorious victory over death. Well, it's a victory that Jesus won actually, and it's here, Jesus' victory over death. But we can rejoice in it and echo the victory and live in that victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, half of verse 54. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. A victory over death. And that victory over death which we have now is something which carries on into the therefore. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're conquerors. Now if we don't know that victory over death, if we're not rejoicing in that victory over death and the grave, then maybe we can't be so immovable and so steadfast, you know. We've got a victory. Praise the Lord. We've got a victory over the devil. We're conquerors and overcomers. And all the hosts of darkness, we've got a victory over them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, we read in Ephesians. What do we wrestle against? These spiritual powers. But we're in victory. We're in victory because Jesus won the victory. We're living in his victory. Because he conquered. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he's destroyed the devil, the one who had the power of death. And in that he sets us free too, from the fear of death. He's destroyed the enemy. Praise his name. All these other things crumble away as well if we know that the enemy, the leader of the enemy system, has been destroyed, crushed, trampled underfoot. We've got a victory in Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, First Epistle of John, chapter 2. I mean, it is a Bible study, so we ought to look at the verses that are in the Bible related to these things. 1 John, chapter 2, and verse 12, 13, 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Praise the Lord. These young men are overcoming the wicked one while they're young. And it's good to know, right from the beginning, that the enemy, Satan, the devil, the demonic hosts, the spirits of darkness, they have been overcome. And we have overcome them in Christ Jesus. We are overcomers. The word of God says to us, resist the devil. Yeah, you do it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. And where there is light, the darkness flees away. Praise the Lord. We are overcomers. We have no fear of those forces of darkness. Not because we have a boast in our own strength and courage, but because we know Jesus has crushed them forever. Hallelujah. And we're in him. So Ephesians 6 tells us that we're to stand. We're in this wrestling, but we're to stand. And we've got a shield of faith which can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Every one of them. There is nothing of the enemy system that can get through that shield of faith. It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What a wonderful Lord we have. He overcame. In 1 John chapter 4, we'll read verse 4 first of all, and then just look at a few verses before it. Verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is the secret of our victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've overcome them. Who is them? Well, you see, in the first few verses of chapter 4, he's been talking about these other spirits that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You've overcome them. These spiritual forces of darkness, you've overcome them. We're overcomers. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Goodness me, we need to get our hearts and minds steeped in this word of God to know who we are. I think so many of us have been brought up to know too many fairy stories about demons and things. It's the work of the enemy, that. Is to instill fear. We're not called to fear. They are a defeated foe. Praise the Lord. They are a defeated foe. We have nothing to fear in Christ Jesus. We're overcomers. And so in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Jesus has destroyed their work. You see, he took all our sin and our trespasses, as it says in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What a wonderful triumph that was. What a wonderful, glorious victory that is. And what have we to fear? We're called to fight against this system. We're called to proclaim the good news in a dark world. We're called to bring deliverance to those that are bound by the forces of darkness. We're called in the name of the Lord to go forth and to shine. How can we do that if we're afraid? How can we do that? Some Christians won't even talk about demons because they're too, oh no, I don't want to talk about that subject. That's the old enemy tack. And we don't want to talk about them to glorify them. We want to talk about them to show that they are defeated. And at the name of Jesus, Satan's hosts must flee. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm glad there are some good hymns in the book. At the name of Jesus, Satan's hosts must flee. There were some people that were not too scared to talk about those things. Or some people think, oh, if I talk about it, it'll have a go at me and, you know, it'll get me tonight when I'm in bed. It's all fairy stories, Grimm's fairy tales, isn't it, really? Are we secure in Christ Jesus or aren't we? Yes, we are. His love surrounds us. He is a wall of fire about us. Hallelujah. There are angelic beings, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, that are sent forth to minister to those that are the heirs of salvation. So even when you're on your own, you're not on your own. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Now we should be in the business, not of shrinking away and not wanting to talk about it. And, oh dear, oh me, I'll close my eyes and perhaps it will go away. But we're in the business of trampling underfoot the works of the enemy. In verse 13 of Psalm 91, it's a messianic psalm in the first place, but it refers to those that are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And that's you and me in Him. Remember that promise in Revelation, the last promise to the seven churches? It was we're sitting with Him in His throne as He is seated in His Father's throne. And in verse 13 it says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." Hallelujah. And Jesus did that, and we in Him can do that too. Because Jesus Himself said, "You'll tread upon the scorpions and such like." Kill them off. Victory in Jesus' name. And we should be desirous of seeing all the works of the enemy being destroyed. The work of Jesus in this earth, although He has finished and completed His work in the work of the cross and His resurrection, the work of Jesus in this world is going on today through His church. The book of Acts begins, doesn't it, with all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And the book of Acts is therefore a continuation of what He's doing and teaching in and through His church by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what's said of Jesus. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And through the church He will continue to destroy the works of the enemy. Praise His name. We're conquerors. We're overcomers. We're winners. I like being on the winning side. Never did like being on the losing side. And we can be on the winning side. We are on the winning side in Jesus. What else have we overcome? We've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. One of Mr. Jordan's good cheers. John 16 verse 33. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Christians have a problem sometimes with the world. It entices. It's attractive. It glitters. It allures the world. We want to copy what the world does. And, you know, we don't want to miss out on what the world does. It's that attraction of the world. Jesus says, "Don't worry about the world, I've overcome the world." You see, the world hates us. The world hates Jesus. And although there's an attraction there, the world hates the believer. Won't do us any good. "I've overcome the world," says Jesus. And in Him we're overcomers too. What did we read tonight in 1 John 5? We read, "Whatsoever," meaning whosoever, "is born of God overcomes the world." We're overcomers. We overcome the world. As Paul says, "The world is crucified to me and I'm crucified to the world." It has no longer any appeal to me. That line of communication is dead, cut off, crucified. Not interested in it anymore. I'm a conqueror. Devil, Satan, demons, you can glitter away all you want to. I'm not interested. Take my silver and my gold. No, not interested in it at all, you see. Says, this is Paul. I'm crucified. We're conquerors. We're conquerors. The line of communication has been severed. No appeal anymore. See, the world Satan through the world system would seek to drag us down to his level. Away from the heavenly glories and splendour where we should be living. Paul says, go away. Not interested. I'm in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. And the fleshly lusts. And all that the flesh would lust after, to gratify self, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. All those temptations that would seek to come away, we're more than conquerors. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Glorious victory in Jesus Christ. So you won't be dragged down into wrong situations. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're more than a conqueror. Circumstances, persecution. People getting on at you because you're a Christian. You know, being persecuted for the faith, as it were. Suffering adverse circumstances because of the faith. Giving all to Him. You'll never be defeated. Not in the Lord. You'll never be drowned in circumstances. Don't panic. Don't panic. Panic is the language of defeat. Panic is the language of impending doom. What have we got before us? Glorious victory. Don't panic. It's all right for you.
You're not drowning under a sea of bills. You haven't got the argumentative neighbour I've got. You don't work with the person I work with. Don't panic. I can only go by the word of God. Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, and this is the verse, Romans 8 and verse 37, it says this. He's going through all the things that are likely to come against us. You know this chapter better than I do. Accounted as sheep for the slaughter, that's all we were. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now that word more than conqueror, it's one word actually, it's a hyper-conqueror. You know what a supermarket is, don't you? Big market, everything in it. You know what a hypermarket is, don't you? Giant supermarket. So you go up the scale, you're not just a conqueror, you're not even a super-conqueror, you're a hyper-conqueror. The best sort. Nothing can get on top of you. Now a supermarket can get on top of a market, a hypermarket can get on top of a supermarket, but there's nothing that can get on top of a hypermarket, not yet. I'd have to think of another name for it. You're hyper-conquerors. Marvellous, isn't it? Nothing can separate us. Nothing can get on top of us. Nothing can defeat us in Christ Jesus. I don't always feel like that, though, do I? That's why we need to get back to the Word of God. And when we get back to the Word of God, well, don't know how you're going to work it all out, Lord, but it's going to be interesting to see how you're going to work it all out. And he does. And he will. Don't panic. If you panic, you mar your testimony. If you panic, you get into situations that the Lord doesn't want you to get in. Trust him. Trust him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we can read about some of the situations that Paul got himself into. But all the time he can say, I'm not defeated. I'm not defeated. I'm going through the mill, but I'm not defeated. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, not defeated. We are perplexed, but not in despair, not defeated. Persecuted, but not forsaken, we're not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed, not defeated. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Not defeated. Hallelujah. Carry on through. Whatever your experience is, I'm going through it, but I'm not despairing. They're all having a go at me, but I'm not destroyed. I'm bouncing back in the Lord. We're more than conquerors. Oh, there are doubts and temptations to unbelief and temptations to disobedience in the thought life. But we're more than conquerors. Even there. But even in the thought life, we're more than conquerors. Some people think you can't possibly get the victory in your thought life because you can't help thinking what you think. Yes, you can. You've got a control over your thought life in Jesus Christ. You can expel the thoughts that are not fitting. You can command them to go, and they'll go, and they'll stop tormenting you. You can command them to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. They'll go. This is the word of God. We have got a victory. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's victory in the thought life. You can cast down all those vain imaginations and temptations, the doubt, temptations to unbelief and so on. We're on the victory side. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How do we overcome then? That's what's to overcome. And in all those areas, we're overcomers. How do we overcome? In Jesus. Number one is in Jesus. Because he is the great overcomer. He is the mighty victor. Hallelujah. He is the one that's trampled on the serpent's head and crushed his power. He's the one that's taken away our sin. Praise his name. He's the one that's put the powers of darkness to flight. He is the one that has done all things well. He is the one that is in control of our lives. In him we have the victory. We've read it. In him we are more than conquerors, hyper-conquerors, in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, just going back a couple of chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, these wonderful words, now thanks be unto God, which always, not sometimes, he lets you drop down a peg or two, you know, just to teach you a lesson, give you a couple of defeats so that you can rejoice in victories. No, it says, which always causes us to triumph
in Christ, and makes manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. He always causes us to triumph. We've got his authority. Authority which he says is over all the power of the enemy. It's in Christ Jesus, but it's by faith. There must be that response from us of faith. Believing him, trusting him by faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. By faith. Nothing difficult. As tonight you've been receiving the word of God, it should be building up faith. Yes, I'm more than a conqueror. By faith. And so it says in 1 John chapter 5, which we've already read, but now we'll read another part of that verse, just to emphasise the importance of this. It says, whatsoever, 1 John 5 and verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now we've emphasised Jesus first, because it's not just our faith, it's the faith that we have in him. It is we live by the faith of the Son of God. It's Jesus, but it's our faith. Ephesians 6, it's the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. Are we a believing people tonight? A trusting people? If we are, be victory. Faith is action. It's not a feeling that you build up or an emotion. Faith is action. It's stepping out on the word of God. I won't panic. I won't try and arrange things myself. I'm trusting you, Lord, to provide every need. I'm trusting you, Lord, in this matter of victory, in this matter of overcoming. There is an interesting verse in Revelation chapter 12. You know, when the enemy throws at us all sorts of accusations and tries to bring us down with doubts and despair and guilt and so on. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, I do apologise if it's a little bit out of context, but I do believe there's an overriding principle here. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the enemy, Satan himself, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's what Jesus has done. His blood was shed for us. And by the word of our testimony, our response of faith in him and what he has done, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I believe we can say the same thing. It's that our response of faith in what he has done. We're standing in that this evening. It's moving in the Spirit. As we have said in Galatians chapter 5, walking in the Spirit. I think we've got time before the tape runs out just to look at Galatians 5 and a couple of verses there. Galatians 5 verse 16 says what we've already said. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. Verses 22 to 26 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then it says, verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the promise is, you shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Overcome evil with good, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Overcome evil with good in the Lord Jesus Christ, in your response of faith, as you're moving in him, living in the Spirit, in Jesus, in the Spirit, living in his word, moving in that response of faith, you'll be living in a life of victory. And a life of victory is a life which will see effective witness, a life which will see the powers of darkness being defeated, a work which will see the works of the enemy being destroyed. Let us live that life of victory. We're triumphing in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 60, these are the closing verses. Psalm 60 and verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Psalm 47 and verse 1. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, for if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Are you reigning in life? A victor, a conqueror, an overcomer in Christ Jesus? Or do you get into areas of defeat? I trust tonight, as we've read through these scriptures and just considered them together, we shall respond in faith and live in the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus, in every area
of our lives. Amen.